I can't think of a better way to conclude this preaching series by talking about one of the ways in which we can grow spiritually and emotionally and maybe even physically is by rejoicing. And sometimes rejoicing is just a gift. It just happens. You just happen to be somewhere where something fantastic happens and you're part of it and it's great joy. But often rejoicing comes after doing a lot of work. People in business know this, where they have a plan, they work the plan, they work hard, hours and hours and hours is spent, and it becomes a successful venture, and now there's rejoicing that it worked. As Christians, we can dedicate ourselves to Christ, whether things are going well in our life or challengingly in our life, but we can rejoice in all times, in all circumstances, because no matter what's happening, God is with us. And it's amazing how many times in scriptures, something really challenging happens to someone and they rejoice because of the experience and knowing that they suffered just as Christ had suffered, knowing that God's arms were around them. So we'll spend just a couple of minutes talking about that this morning. Glad that you're here. Let's just take a moment to stand up where we are and to welcome each other this morning. Great stories in all of Scripture really is dealing with the concept of rejoicing. And often rejoicing comes after a long time of work or doing whatever we need to be doing. I'm not sure if you caught the reading or not. It's one of those great scenes where we have to use our imagination. Sometimes you listen to a story. We started preaching this series using J.K. Rowling as an example of how she had lost so many things in her life and she was really quite destitute. She said, "The only thing I had left as I hit rock bottom was that solid foundation on which to rebuild my life." And she said, "I had a daughter whom I loved and I had this dream. And the dream was of being an author, and this scene just kept coming in my mind about some boy who lived under a staircase in a closet, but he had some magical powers to him, and she just started writing a story about Harry Potter. And of course, it took off, and it exploded, and it grew, and it developed, and it was a dream that came true for her, and she rebuilt her life based on that, and there was a lot of rejoicing that took place all the way through that wonderful series. And the reading today talks somewhat about this, that Israel started off with great joy, and then as time went on, Israel started to pull away from God, and actually the walls around Jerusalem that were built with such fervor and vigor and strength and with the help of God was smashed to pieces. And they hit rock bottom, Israel did. There was nothing left for them. In fact, all of Israel just kind of scattered abroad. And then one day, through the heart of a king who wasn't even sure he believed in one God, Cyrus, got a whisper in his ear from God saying, "Yes, you are the king of Persia. And yes, you have a vast empire, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to call some of my people and allow them to go back to Jerusalem and start to rebuild their lives by rebuilding my walls." And through the heart of a king who wasn't even sure he believed, he whispered to Ezra, the priest, and he whispered to Nehemiah, "I want you to go back, and I want you to begin rebuilding the walls." Well, the book of Nehemiah is a great story. It's about the rebuilding of the walls, but really it's not. It is, but it's not. It's really about rebuilding their destiny, rebuilding their lives, rebuilding their hearts, rebuilding a connection to God, starting again, starting fresh, and moving forward. And we all know that there are times in our lives when that's important, because there are times in our lives when really we feel so strong and dedicated and close to God, where I've said this many, many weeks now, that we feel like the way I feel right now, so close to God, I know I'm going to feel this way forever. And no matter what happens in my life, I'm strong enough, I will never leave God. And maybe a month goes by and all of a sudden you wonder, where did those feelings go? I'm not even sure who I am anymore. Well, that's the concept of being a human being. But all the way through our lives, it's God transforming us and rebuilding us as we give ourselves to Him. So the reading today is after a long time of building these walls, which did not go swimmingly because there were challenges to the people rebuilding the walls from outside of those walls and from inside the walls. There was criticism and sharp dispute that came to them even as they tried to rebuild these walls. And that's true in all of our lives. That even as we try to rebuild our lives, the walls of our life, there are times when things just happen and they're pulling at us. And we wonder, man, there's just so much piling up. So this beautiful scripture that Bonnie read to us today, here is the completion of these walls. And this is where we use our imagination. So what happened was Ezra the priest and others gathered all of Jerusalem together and created two choirs. And one choir would go up one side of the wall, the other choir would go up on the other side of the wall, and all of Jerusalem stood below, and they listened and they sang together with such rejoicing that the Bible says actually this. And on that day, Israel offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy, and the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Wouldn't it have been cool to have been there? Or can you imagine maybe not being an Israelite and being in a house somewhere else and you wonder, what is that noise? And you go to the window and you put your ear to it and you go, wow, that sounds wonderful. The rejoicing. Have you ever been to a place where the singing and the rejoicing is so fantastic that you just don't want it to end? Knowing that it will end, but it's helping to rebuild our lives. So today I just want to take a look, a little bit of a look at this concept of rejoicing. And true enough, rejoicing sometimes just comes to us, but other times rejoicing really is a matter of after a long time of work. So when the church first started, there was this time of great rejoicing. Peter and the other apostles started preaching. And as they preached at the day of Pentecost, more and more people heard the message. Some people teased them. And some people criticized these apostles because they were speaking in different languages, so that people who came to this Jewish festival, Pentecost, and all spoke in different languages, they all heard the same message in their own native tongue. And the message was all about the good news of Jesus Christ, who came into the world and was killed. But he came back to life to live forever and ever, forgiving people's sins as they come to him. And the people heard this message. And it was a profound message that on that very day, 3,000 people were baptized into Christ. They were convicted in their heart. And when Peter and the other apostles had said that they had killed Jesus, in fact, all because of our sin, we're there as well, they said, "What do we do?" They felt like their lives were smashed to pieces. We killed the very one that we, all of our life and our forefathers, even back to the time of Abraham, was waiting for. You mean he came and instead of loving him, we murdered him? What shall we do? Peter said, rebuild your walls. Rebuild your life. Repent. Think again. Turn around. Rebuild. Repent yourselves. Turn around. Give yourself to God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as they saw all around. And that this promise is for everyone. Fantastic message. And in fact, when reading the book of Acts, it doesn't really do a good job talking about the time periods. You know, we read chapter after chapter after chapter, knowing that when Luke wrote the book of Acts, there were no chapters. He just wrote out the story. And he wasn't really dealing with, well, that happened in 1 week, and then this happened with 1 week, and then that was 6 months later. He doesn't even deal with that. He just gives a quick history of the church where all of a sudden this good news, the rebuilding of people's lives exploded. 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, and then so many that they said, and so many people came to the Lord that it was increasing in numbers. Got to such a point that Jerusalem was being overwhelmed with all of these wonderful people who were rebuilding their walls. But it's true that when people rebuild their walls and there's great rejoicing, there will sometimes be conflict, sometimes coming at you from outside, not even knowing why. And there were people of a religious sect, the Jewish people of that time, who really didn't like to hear about this Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And so they wanted to put a stop to all of this rejoicing. They wanted to put a stop to people rebuilding their lives. They felt like there was only one way to live, and that's all there is to it. Do you ever feel that way in your own life? And so I want to just take a look at a little passage of scripture today, and I'm not asking you to follow along because I'm going to jump all over the place. But here you have people who were thrown into prison and persecuted in prison because of preaching Christ Jesus. And I want to just read to you this story. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy because of the Christians. So they arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And the angel told them, "Go and stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life, a rebuilt life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin and the full assembly of the elders of Israel and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers couldn't find the apostles. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail," this is so cool, "securely locked, and the guards standing at the doors of the jail. But when we opened the doors to the jail, there was no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of all of this. Stop. Instead of maybe some of them thinking, you know, maybe there is some good news here that I should be paying attention to. Well, when someone came and said, "Look, the very people that you put in jail are standing in the temple courts and they're teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers, brought the apostles, and they did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." They were not going to call Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, only this man. And then I love this response. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a cross. And God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, Messiah, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to all of Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, it's so interesting how God can use other people whom we may not even know individually, to influence someone else whom we may know, who will come into our lives and help us to grow as people. Say that again. I don't think I can. I just think that there are times that God will respond to a person's life who will then speak to another person, and that person will somehow come to know you in some way, and something will happen in that person's life or say something to us that stops us in our tracks, knowing that we will never be the same again, thinking that that person influenced us, which he or she did, but in all reality, it all came from who? God. It always does. Every good and perfect gift comes to us from God. And we can call it coincidence. We can call it, isn't that interesting? We can say, well, those things just happen. Well, that's fine. But why not just give the credit to where it belongs? God. He said, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good purpose. But God works in us often through other people's lives. And we didn't even know that they were working in our lives. And they didn't even know. But God did. Always pulling us together. In fact, for those of you who have claimed Christ as Lord and Savior, you ever think of the people who have influenced you, helped you to rebuild your life? And if you were to look back on your life and really spend some time thinking about to the point of when you became a Christian, or even if you had challenges as a Christian and later came back to Christ, when you look at all of those people, isn't that amazing to say, you know, I didn't even know that person. And yet my life has changed because of them. Okay, Donnie, so why are you saying all this? Because this is the story. All of a sudden, some of the people there heard about this Jesus. You mean he is the Savior? You mean he is the Christ? So why are these other people challenging them? The apostles will stand up and say, I don't know, but we're not going to stop preaching. And so here comes along a man who was not a Christian. But this man had such an influence on other people that when some of them, whom he taught, later will become a Christian, where he himself wasn't. A man by the name of Gamaliel, who taught a man by the name of Saul, who later becomes the apostle Paul. His life changes forever. But before Saul was ever influenced, this man, Gamaliel, heard about Christianity and heard about these apostles who were thrown into prison and heard about the Sanhedrin who wanted to get rid of them. Now watch how God works. Here's the story. When they heard all of this, the Sanhedrin, they were furious and they wanted to put the apostles to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, lawyer, prophet of God in the sense of a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that these men be put outside for a while. Then Gamaliel addressed the Sanhedrin. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these apostles. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody special, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all of his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. And after him, Judas the Galilean, not Judas Iscariot, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present situation, here's my advice to you. Leave these apostles alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of a human origin, it's going to fail anyway. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these people. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Isn't that right? Such a cool story. Gamaliel never became a Christian, as far as we know. Maybe he did later on, who knows? But his advice was good. So good that Peter and John thank God for this and the other apostles. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, listen, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering for the sake of Christ. And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. How do you finish the series on rebuilding your lives? If you were to ask J.K. Rowling at a time in her life, if you could look ahead in your life 10, 20 years from now, how do you see it? Well, when she was at the end of her rope, I don't know that she had anything in view. But there are times in our lives, I think, if we were asked when we were age 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever the age is, even before you became a Christian, and somebody ever asked you, do you think that you're going to be a believer in Christ someday? Do you think God's going to change your life? Do you think God's going to put people in your life who will say things to you and encourage you in such a way that your life will never be the same? And even when difficulties come, you know that you have a solid foundation on which to stand, Jesus Christ himself, and that you can continue to rebuild your life under the influence and direction of God, who will never stop putting his arms around you, loving you, holding you, teaching you, encouraging you throughout the rest of your life. And there'll never be a moment when he's not with you. Could we imagine that God would have done all this for us? What does this say about us? It says he loves us. And what does it say about God? Well, how do you describe God? A God who never sleeps, a God who never stops, a God who's always rebuilding our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you is not enough. We are always blown away by the circumstances that come our way in life, good, bad, and sometimes indifferent. But that always you are working in our lives. And that sometimes you bring people into our lives whom we didn't even recognize, who are moving us closer to you. And you're helping us to rebuild our life. God, please, choose us to help others so that they too can rebuild their lives just as others have helped us. Thank you, Jesus, for never stopping, for always working, for always moving us closer to you. And as others have encouraged us, may we encourage others through Christ Jesus. Amen.